One of the biggest questions coming into the spring game this season for Baylor is the running back room. Will there be a player there to step up and take over Trestan Ebner and Abram Smith's role next season? And how much of that will we see Saturday? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, folks, we now welcome in Scotty Swingler to the show for his second appearance. You're one appearance away from the green jacket, Scotty.
Let's get it.
So we'll jump right in today when it comes to football. Scotty, well, I've got to thank the folks first for making Locked On Baylor their first listen every day. But this week being maybe the biggest week of spring ball for the fans, at least, as you're getting ready for the green and gold game on Saturday. And the question looming in, I'd say even the casual Baylor fan's mind, is the running back spot. We've had a conversation about this before and how Baylor stacks up at RB and how they don't necessarily need to go to the transfer portal. You see a lot of depth for Baylor, but there could still be some make or break stuff on Saturday where you see flashes of what you're going to get next season. Scotty, really, when it comes to Baylor's spring game Saturday, what do you need to see to have your confidence just build on this running back room?
So let's start with acknowledging this, Drake. Anybody with talent can succeed in this offense. And next season in particular, with most of your O-line back, I think that's what you want to see, is the push up front and the holes being created just like they were last season for Abram Smith and Trestan Ebner. I think it's going to be really exciting to see which guys actually run with the ones and the twos and kind of where the coach's mindset is right now in terms of that running back room. But man, I think you just want to see a couple of guys hit the holes aggressively. I think that's Abram Smith moved back to that running back spot last year because that guy is a downhill runner. And I think that's what you want to see, is which one of these guys comes out and looks like they are ready to find the hole, hit the hole, one cut, gone. I think you've got guys like Fleeks and Squirrel Williams who are your big play threats, your explosive, nimble, quick guys. Who's going to be the guy who can get it up the gut, one cut, and go? That's going to be fun to see.
And we've mentioned too, Gary Bohannon might be that fourth down, 6 inches guy, put the ball in his hands. And someone who we haven't brought up, that I know there are a lot of Baylor fans who are just, salivating over, right? Is that how you can describe a football player?
Yeah, sure.
Would be Dylan Doyle. You input Dylan Doyle at the fullback spot. He led the Big 12 in touchdowns for fullbacks last season. I think he led the Big 12 for fullback touchdowns in the last decade in last season alone. And I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You got to think he'll be back there again.
I don't expect him to be used any more than he was last season.
Yeah.
He, especially with the departure of Terrell Bernard, Doyle is the unquestioned leader of that linebacker core. That's where he's most valuable to you. And of course, yeah, I think he'll be back in goal line situations, because you're right. It was a great, great maneuver that we pulled a few times last year. But man, I think you're really looking for another guy to step up and be the bell cow. If I had to put my money on someone, it's going to be Tay McWilliams. I think, he has the size and the skill to do it. And again, I think the key here, Drake, that line is going to do work this next season, man. And this system is proven at this point, who's going to take advantage. But yeah, dude, Dylan Doyle in that fullback spot, Gary Bohannon, you have a lot of options, certainly, especially in short yardage situations.
You know, the short yardage situation is probably where I've been most concerned, because it seems like this offense has the big play capabilities. We've even mentioned the name Monterey Baldwin, who could line up at halfback this season, which we've mentioned him off of one play, maybe arguably the biggest play, definitely of the Sugar Bowl, and that put the game away effectively late. So you've got that kind of athleticism on the offensive side, but how much of the success for Baylor's running back room is going to come from the running backs, and how much is going to come from the offensive line?
It's hard to say. I mean, how do you grade last year? How do you balance? Mm-hmm. Yes, Abram Smith broke a Baylor single season rushing record. Like, the dude clearly was so pivotal. And yet the single season improvement, Drake, in rushing average, all comes down to Jeff Grimes' scheme and that O-line. And it was visible on day one against Texas State last year. The difference in the way the line was able to get to their blocks, move people out of the way, and Smith took advantage. So I think that's a difficult question to answer. But honestly, I mean, I think I would have to say 60% of it, if not more, goes to your O-line. And I think even most of the great running backs will tell you that. They can't do it if the holes aren't there. Will we have another Abram Smith? Probably not. But will there be a guy who's able to take advantage, or multiple guys, I think? Yeah, probably so.
Scotty, we mentioned how Baylor baseball, which this is kind of out of left field, we've mentioned how Baylor baseball, in a lot of these games they're playing in the midweeks, Lamar, Sam Houston State, they can't win, they can only lose. From an RPI standpoint, if Baylor baseball loses these games, they're going to tank. If they win, they'll either stay the same or possibly still drop a couple spots. It feels like that's kind of how the running back room, for me, is going into this weekend. You can't really win, but you can certainly lose, because if you go out there and you do really, really well, well, the Baylor offensive line is just monstrous. If you go out there and you do poorly, you got 4 out of 5 returning starters up front. And, you know, Micah Mazuka, who is going to be a stud. So 5 big dudes that are proven at the front of the football. If this Saturday spring game tanks, that's a pretty ugly blot on the sign of the running back for Baylor already.
What's great? Here's what's great about the spring game, though, Drake. What is our best unit going into 2022? It's the D line.
Yeah.
If it's not the O line, it's the D line. I mean, it's the trenches. So, I mean, if you see one of our running backs struggling to get by Apu or TJ Franklin, are we going to go, oh, Tay McWilliams sucks? Or are we going to go, heck yeah, that's my Dave Aranda, Ron Roberts defense? I mean, that's what's kind of fun about the spring game, right? It's a lot of wins depending on how you look at it. I would like to see, and I think what you would like to see too, is somebody take the reins. Like somebody, when they get their carry, show a pop, a burst, some aggressiveness, that linebacker-esque tenacity that Abram constantly delivered from the backfield. I think that's what I want to see from a halfback, not a Dylan Doyle or a Gary Bohannon. Like, give me a halfback who shows that want to. And even if the numbers don't look great coming out of the spring game, if I see that, I think I'm really excited.
Yeah, not to mention, when you look at the full body work of the defense, it's probably the best defense in the Big 12 going into next season. Secondary still to be proven. So if you got a guy who gets stifled, maybe you're right. I guess the defense is pretty elite. Scotty, you mentioned a guy stepping up, though. And that's a conversation that I want to have when it comes to leadership across the board for this team, coming up after I tell everybody about Built Bar. So I mentioned it, and I'm going to continue mentioning it. Built Bar has kept my New Year's resolution alive. I wanted to stay in shape. I've done a pretty okay job of that, but an even better job now that I have Built Bar at my disposal. Built Bar is like a candy bar, but not, because see, a candy bar has, in total, you're looking at 250-ish calories on average, maybe 30 grams of sugar. Built Bar, 130 calories, give or take 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein as well. Built Bar is basically a candy bar, but healthy for you. Mint brownie, coconut almond, white chocolate cookies and cream is new for the month of April. Just try it out at built.com. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and I'm telling you, one try of a Built Bar, you'll be absolutely hooked. Built.com, promo code LOCKED15. That will get you 15% off your order at built.com. All right, folks, we welcome onto the show Brandon McKinnon of Our Daily Bears. And Brandon, there's been a conversation outside of the spring game in football this week about Miro Little, his commitment late last week, Jeremy Sochan going to the NBA draft. I know that I listed off a couple of days ago kind of my roster of guys who I expect to make contributions next year. And to me, it looks like right now, if not for the transfer portal, Baylor may not even be as elite as they were last season, which they were a one seed even still. I know that there's just a lot to pick up on there, but where do you go with that in how you analyze this Baylor team right now in the offseason?
Yeah, thanks, Drake. I'm pumped to be here. Yeah, I think, and we have to do some damage in the transfer portal. Somebody that hasn't been getting as much mention is Dylan Hunter. I think he'll play a role. Obviously, we're weakest at the forward and center position from a depth perspective. But it's going to be tough to take a stride. If you think about it, realistically, could have been a one seed 3 years straight. I think had the tournament not been canceled in 2020, it would have happened. And so it's almost, I think it's okay for us to not expect as elite of an output. But I trust Scott Drew to pull in a late transfer. You see what he does. He does it late spring in the summer just to see where the dust settles. So I think we'll be good. The current roster makeup, I think we can compete for a Big 12 championship and, you know, see where things fall. I think it just depends on how soon Everyday John can get back. I know knee and ankle are different, but I just keep falling back on the major injury that Cam Akers had, different sport, but ruptured his Achilles, came back same season, played in Super Bowl. I don't think it's a far cry to think that Everyday John could be ready for conference play. I think that's our hope, right? And then just depending on how elite Langston Love can come back, because I think what people, and it's easy to forget, but I mean, he was our leading scorer in every scrimmage game so far preseason last year. So Langston Love is going to be an elite talent too. I think there's just a ton of question marks, but we'll see.
The question mark for me that really stands out, and of course, you know, Bridges from West Virginia is a forward that you could possibly snag out of the transfer portal, but your depth at the big man spot, you have Flo Thamba, and then after Flo Thamba, without, you know, Everyday John, you're really looking thin there. And is it not vital then, objectively, that Baylor goes to the portal to find a plug-and-play guy that can be a big man on next year's team?
I think it is vital. I do wonder how ready Josh Ojemwuna is going to be out of the NBA Academy. I've watched some tape, and there's not a lot out there. And it was, frankly, tape on him before he committed to Baylor, and I know he's developed. But I think the portal will be extremely important. It's just I haven't seen Baylor tied to any of these big guys. All these college basketball insiders are tweeting out who's in the running for, you know, any of the top 20 players on Evan Maia, and Baylor is nowhere in it. So I don't know if they're waiting to see what happens with Meyer's decision, if he comes back, if he goes, if that plays a factor. But I think we're going to have to be active. It just may not be this marquee top 50 guy that everybody's hoping for. It's potentially a culture fit, scheme fit, plug and play guy that can come in and be a body and just provide some depth.
Yeah, and Scott Drew's that guy. He's not going to recruit because you're a great player. I think we mentioned that a couple days ago. It's not an idea of, okay, great, you're a five-star guy, come play for us. It's okay, you're a really good basketball player, but do you fit the culture?
Yeah.
That's not a question John Calipari's asking. It's not a question that oh my gosh, Chris Beard is asking at Texas. Scott Drew is that guy. And that's not a problem, of course, but with the win now mentality and attitude, you can't go find like Dale Bonner, for example. Dale Bonner is going to be a hell of a player next season, but this past season, he wasn't the make or break for a Final Four caliber team. It wasn't, you know, he had the adjustment period from Fairmont State. You get a 6'11" big man from, you know, Arkansas Tech, he's not going to be ready to play a Big 12 schedule day one. And I think that's the problem when you don't see Baylor's name tied to any of these top players.
It's certainly concerning. I think there are also, to the point you just made, there are players that I don't know that as a fan and as a Baylor, you know, somebody that probably cares too much about Baylor men's basketball, if my wife would certainly say so. I don't want us to go get a guy that's going to potentially hurt the locker room. I mean, I did see that Baylor, I saw something on Twitter today that Baylor may pursue Imani Bates. I don't think that's a fit, you know? I mean, great talent, or we think he is, but Baylor was in his top schools when he made his decision to go to Memphis and he chose not to come. Like, I just, that fit just doesn't make sense to me. And I think there's some guys like that, high marquee names in the transfer portal. It's just interesting that we haven't seen Baylor even linked to anybody that's kind of a mid-tier.
Yeah,
you know, that transfer guy.
Certainly been something on my radar. But looking forward, you know, losing Jeremy Sochan, you're going to take a hit. People saw it coming. You can't turn down being a lottery pick. Losing, you know, James Akinjo, that was for me kind of 50-50. Kendall Brown is similar, but those guys, all three gone now. Matthew Meyer, I'd say 80-20 that he's likely going to leave. And your transfer portal questions, but tying all that together and kind of putting it aside for a second, Then you look future, Miro Little committing from Finland, Helsinki guy who's coming to the United States to play college basketball. And I think it's a really big get from Scott Drew because a lot of those foreign guys are pretty underrated when they come to the States out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw that with Sohan. Yeah. Sohan's draft position is what everybody thought Kendall Brown's was going to be, if we're being completely honest. And we probably thought we were going to have Sohan for 2 or 3 years. You know? I just did a quick Google prior to joining tonight, and I saw the latest CBS mock draft had Sohan going at 7 to the Kings.
Oh.
And I mean, can you imagine just the Baylor fan, just mass pandemonium if he's playing alongside Davion Mitchell? I mean, that would just be incredible. But yeah, for Miro Little, man, I've been referring to him as the Flying Finn because I saw him retweet something that called him the Flying Finn. So I think that's coming in 2 years. But it's just exciting. I mean, if you look at what we're doing, it's just consistently adding some of the top quality talent in any draft class, or any recruiting class. And so it's a huge get. It shows that the momentum isn't slowing down because recruiting does happen realistically 2 years in advance, if you think about it. Like Keontae signed for 2022 based on the 2020-2021 championship, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's encouraging that a round of 32 exit in this draft or in this tournament didn't necessarily impact Scott Drew's first grab in the 2023 recruiting scene. He was a highly sought after guy. I mean, he chose Baylor over Villanova and Indiana, two blue blood programs. And I would argue that a get like this is what's pushing Baylor further and further along that line. But yeah, I mean, Miro's passing ability is incredible. I watched a lot of his tape from the Adidas Next Gen Summit, which I would recommend for Baylor fans to check out on YouTube. It's like the third highlight. He beats two guys off the dribble, ball fakes with his offhand, and passes behind the back to a cutter baseline. And it's like, I want to watch that. So yeah, I mean, I could go on and on, but it's a huge, huge addition and a big first name. To start the recruiting class. And I watched an interview that he did. He said he's going to be committed to helping the coaching staff recruit the next two or three guys to join the class of 2023.
Hey, Lauri Markkanen, not from the United States. Luka Doncic, not from the U.S. Jeremy Sohan. Look, go find those guys. Look, hey, the entire 2023 recruiting class, European. I'm not going to complain.
Like, I'm in.
Arizona went and got a bunch of big men transfers from, you know, overseas or programs that they were coming from overseas originally to go to. So, Brandon, before we get you out of here, my last question and kind of a quick hitter here. As it sits right now with the current Baylor roster and the amount of contributors that we've seen and everything you've analyzed, is this Baylor team a top 10 team in your rankings for next season today?
Oh, without a doubt, top 10. Like, I think the argument that people are making is they're the Final Four caliber, and that's just to be determined, especially if you think about the leadership that's going to come back. Even if Everyday John is on the bench,
right,
he's such a vocal leader that guys are going to be drawn to him and pay attention. I think if we can get Flagler and Cryer fully healthy and right, which I don't know if Flagler ever even was this season.
Yeah.
And they're not forced to create as much off the dribble with Langston Love and Keontae in the rotation there. That's huge. And Dylan Hunter coming off the bench. I mean, I think we're going to see a very guard heavy lineup no matter where the chips fall. And I think that's okay. Langston Love, some websites have him listed at 6'6". You can argue he can play small forward. Keontae is listed, I've seen, at 6'3", 6'4". I think that we're going to have a longer guard lineup. And to me, the talent's just there to be a top 10 team that's backed by what I would argue is a top 5 coaching staff in the country.
Well, Brandon, thanks for coming on today and offering the Baylor basketball, our Daily Bears insight.
I wouldn't go that far, but I appreciate it.
I love it. We'll do it again soon. And for those out there that are listening, I want to take a second to tell you just for a quick second about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com, all the parts your car will ever need. And Rock Auto is a website that is very convenient for someone like myself who recently got into a wreck. And when the people ask me, hey, Drake, what kind of car do you have? I said, oh, a Nissan Maxima. And they said, what kind of Nissan Maxima? And I said, what do you mean? It's a Nissan Maxima. So apparently there are like different like XLs and RS and, you know, all these like numbers and letters and things that go with your vehicle. You might not know that. I don't know mine. Rock Auto does. That's why you go to rockauto.com, because you can find all the parts your car will ever need without the hassle of going to auto parts store locally and feeling like you don't know enough about your vehicle to get it serviced. Rock Auto, you can also get insane discounts on the stuff that you need. So like $350 for a Honda Odyssey fuel pump from a chain store. $216 at rockauto.com. You're saving well over $100 there. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They are prices that are very reliable. They have every customer out there in mind when they build those prices as well. So rockauto.com right now, right locked on in the how did you hear about us so they know that we sent you. Rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And we welcome Scotty back after a quick nap. Scotty, I hope you're well rested.
I'm doing great.
Yeah. So in the final conversation of today's show, what I want to get into is a question from G-Dub, longtime listener who's been rocking our promotion for about a year now across different shows and platforms, and says, who do you want to see in single digits come next season? Dylan Doyle, Gavin Holmes, Christian Morgan are three guys who already have locked up spots with single digits. Now, we don't know if Baylor has explicitly said they're going to continue the single digits tradition, but let's say they do. I expect them to. Who are the guys that you want to give the nod for single digits?
Got it all right here, man. I've got it all written out. I've been dreaming about this. So here's who mine would go to, with the disclaimer that offensive linemen are not allowed to wear single digits.
Yeah.
If they were, three or four of them would be going to offensive linemen. That being said, Gary Bohannon was number 11 in high school. He's been number 11 his entire career at Baylor. Let's just take one of those ones off and give Gary Bohannon the number one jersey. I think he's your unquestioned leader of the offense. I've said it, you know, to you privately on Twitter, publicly. I don't think there's a quarterback battle. I think Gary Bohannon is your unquestioned locker room leader and a guy that's deserving of one. I think Ben Sims gets one. So I wrote him down at number two. Ben Sims, probably easily your most proven weapon on offense outside of a quarterback. Someone who's going to have a lot of touchdowns this coming season, you would think. Ben Sims would get one. I'll give Al Walcott a single jersey. I put him number three. Raleigh Tejada had number three the last few years. Let's keep it at a cornerback spot. Al Walcott's a guy that stepped up really big towards the end of 2021. I really enjoy his game. I think he could be a big factor on this defense that we don't talk about a lot. You know, of course, you have Morgan, Doyle, and Holmes. Seven is probably my biggest stretch, and it's another cornerback. I think Tevin Williams III is going to end up being a fan favorite very, very soon. This guy is like Baylor hype machine. He is like the mega fan for Baylor, except he plays on the football team. And I think he's going to come out being the other starting corner this season across from Walcott. He's number 27 right now. Let's just give him number seven. At number eight, I've got Matt Jones. I think this guy is so explosive and is all over the football field creating havoc, really an heir apparent to Terrell Bernard and Jalen Petrie and his ability to wreak havoc and provide some spark on defense. And number nine, Drake, do you remember Ira Lewis?
No.
Ira Lewis was a Briles-era defensive tackle who wore number nine. Give number nine to the Waco kid, Jackson Player.
I think Siaki Ika.
Yes, man.
You haven't given me Siaki Ika yet.
Give this to Jackson Player. Listen, I love Siaki Ika. But as I sat here thinking about it, I want to see the Waco kid who wasn't recruited by Baylor, went and proved himself, came back, and thus far in camp has just been dynamite from what I hear. Let's give a defensive tackle number nine. If it is Apu, I will cheer for that. I said, man, let's give it to Jackson Player. I think that would be awesome.
You know, I think Jackson Player, I like the Waco tie. I'll say this, no matter what, you put a big guy in a small number and it just looks freaking cool.
It's awesome.
So that alone, give me the entire defensive line. Put Garmin Randolph at like 6'7", 250 in number two. And like, there's just something about it, right? Had Oakman wore number one, it would have been the single most like, can I say bad? I don't think I can say badass thing that Baylor football
absolutely
had probably ever seen.
Absolutely.
That's the pigskin preacher, Scotty Swingler. I'm sorry that I put you through that. But this team, this roster up and down, I think Siaki Ika certainly is, I would say he's deserving of one. I love the Al Walcott pick. Probably okay. Not going to be one that most folks would put down as their single-digit numbers. And I think Al Walcott's there. I if you want to go like the route of, obviously you already got Gavin Holmes, Dylan Doyle, Christian Morgan, those guys are going to be locked up. And past that, you're also looking at maybe an Isaac Power. What are the odds you
get? I would love that.
Imagine a fifth-year senior, the guy basically, if I'm going to say anybody won Baylor a Big 12 championship last year, that game he was unconscious.
Yeah,
Isaac Power would be unbelievable to see in a single digit next season. There are a lot of guys though you could put up for that.
I almost did Isaac Power, and I thought, will this team really vote for a punter? If it's a team vote, would they vote for?
Yeah,
maybe so. I'm going to tell you a dark horse too, Drake. The dark horse, Kyren Drones. If you watched the offseason weight room position group board, yeah. I don't know what the name of that was called, but you know, each position group, you had kind of a winner of each day. Kyren Drones won the quarterback room almost every day in the weight room. I think that guy, if it really is about who's working the hardest on and off the field, who's a guy you can count on to do his job. I love Kyren Drones as a dark horse pick to get a single digit. Don't think it would happen, but I would be stoked about that as well.
I'm not sure if we've had a third string quarterback with a single digit yet in this little tradition, but maybe if anybody, I have been the biggest Kyren Drones fan I think that's existed on earth the last few years. He's just been my guy since he committed to Baylor. I have just done nothing but been like, wow, he is the second coming of RG3, but better. He's the biggest football player that's ever existed. Like, I look at Kyren Drones and think like, that's my idol. And he's like 3 years younger than me. And we go to college together. So Scotty, pigskin preacher, go find him at Please Bear With Me as well.
Yeah.
I mean, free plug, not even shameless. So, Scotty, thanks for joining as always.
This was fun, Drake. Thanks, man.
Always a freaking blast, man. Say this before we get out of here. For those that are watching at home right now, you're going to want to pick up on Locked On NFL Draft's coverage next week. Locked On NFL Draft with Ryan Tracy, former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker. They bring the draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects, NFL front offices as well. Locked On NFL, thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. I'll tell you what, tomorrow's show, John Garcia Jr., the lead director of recruiting at Sports Illustrated, is going to join the show and talk a little bit about where Baylor sits from a recruiting standpoint and how some of these young guys that may be stepping into on-field roles next year can make waves on Saturday in Baylor's spring game. We'll see you back again tomorrow. Thanks, as always, for listening. You can watch on YouTube or get it anywhere you get your podcast, free and available. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, pick one. This has been Locked On Baylor.